The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Sunday, February 27, 2011, at the 11 o'clock service. The scripture lesson was Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 20. The sermon was delivered by Lindsay Anderson, and the title of the message was Choose Life.
Let us begin with prayer. Lord, the psalmist tells us that the unfolding of your word brings light. As your message unfolds in us today, we pray that you would enlighten our minds, that you would warm our hearts, that you would whisper your promises in our ears, that you would challenge us and push us forward. Open us now, Lord, as we open your word, to hear a message from you this morning. And may all that we say and do, may the meditations of our hearts and our minds be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, what a scene we come upon in the book of Deuteronomy today. If the book of Deuteronomy were a movie, this would be the scene where the strings and the French horns begin to play an epic fanfare, and the camera pans the crowd, and then the view widens to show the foot of the mountain and the long view into the promised land. Then the camera would zoom back in right onto Moses' face as he shares with the people his final words. Also, if this story were a movie, it would be 16 hours long, because the plot development of the Israelites wandering in the desert has been going on for 40 years at this point in our story. But back to Moses. The camera zooms in, and Moses says, "Look, folks, there are two ways that you can go from here. You can choose to go with God, or you can choose not. You can choose to follow God's commands, or you can choose to turn your back on them. Following God leads to life and blessing, but turning from God leads to death and curses." Wow. Those are some pretty stark words. And I have to say, any of us who have been on this earth for a couple minutes know that that's not actually the way it always works. Sometimes the good do not prosper. Sometimes the wicked do not fail. But Moses' purpose here is not to set up a universal equation or to write a moral treatise on the ways of the world. In this moment, he's not teaching the people. He's trying to inspire them. He's giving them a charge, a benediction to take with them as they go out. Also, he's not speaking to a group of amateurs. These aren't people who are new to their faith. These folks have been following Moses' leadership for 40 years now. These are people who were delivered from slavery. Before these people, God took the form of a pillar of fire to show them the way. These are the people who turned from God and wandered lost in the desert. A whole generation died. These are people who have thirsted, who have starved. These are people who have been fed by God's miracles. And God has spoken to them, giving them the law to hold their community together in the desert. These are people with whom God resided in the form of a cloud that fell on their worship space. I would say that they know God pretty well by now. Perhaps as well as anyone can know the fierce, jealous, nurturing, forgiving, mysterious-ness that is God. So Moses turns to them and says, you know the way that leads to good life. The word of God is very near to you. He is saying, when you remember what happened in the desert, the law of God is in your heart. And when you tell our people's story, the law of God is on your tongue. Now, this is where they will part ways, Moses and the people of Israel. But before that happens, Moses takes this moment to assure the people that they are able to follow the ways of God. They do know the makings of a good life, and they can choose it. After 40 years of tragedy that resulted from bad choices, Moses is saying to them, you can choose a better way for you and your descendants. You can choose to live. Now let's pause here for just a moment to look at the word life in our passage. Since Moses' claim to the people is that following God's commandments means life and length of days. The Hebrew word that's used means to live or to survive. Moses is saying in no metaphor and in no uncertain terms, if you want to live, literally live, if you want to survive as a community in this new land, you must follow the laws and ordinances God has given us. But there's also something qualitative about what Moses is saying. God's laws are not just the way to life, but to a good life and a right life. The law of God that was given through Moses provided for things like cleanliness codes, instructions for what to do with illnesses, as well as how to maintain justice and care for all members of the community. So the good news of this small phrase, choose life, is that God has given an opportunity for the people to choose to live in peace and in well-being. And God has given them this opportunity again. This is God's goal for all of us, to live as God's people in a community of wholeness and life. And throughout history, God returns us to opportunities to seek that life. Now, I have to stop here and confess that after writing this part of the sermon, I got pretty stuck for a while. It sort of sat there for a week, and I didn't really know what to say. I mean, some of you might be thinking, this seems like a perfectly good place to end the sermon. Just tie up the loose ends and bring that baby home. But, I mean, we've got the basic story, we've gotten a little history, we've even gotten the good news. So what's left to say? But something wouldn't let me do it. And not only because we're 3 minutes into the sermon and that's all, but it just didn't feel settled yet. I felt as if there must be something more that this passage is trying to say to me, to us, something I was missing. So I thought about it, I pondered it, I wondered how to dig deeper into this little phrase than the immediate surface associations that we have. And one day this week, while I was not thinking about this verse at all, in fact, while I was surfing Facebook, I came across a commercial. It was a commercial for a Bible study. You see, Facebook knows me. The Bible study is called The Economy of Love. Now, I haven't read this book, so I can't endorse it, but the commercial, at least, is worth its salt. And I would like to share it with you today. just a moment. It's short, but it's worth it, I promise.
It's really, really difficult to understand that there is hope and life after death when so many people are going, well, is there life before death? And if God really loves me, then why are my kids starving to death? And the incredible thing I think a lot of us have felt is as we throw those questions up at God and we say, God, why don't you do something about the masses of our population that are living in poverty? We felt God say, I did do something. I made you.
I think that's worth just sitting with for a minute. Of the many things that I realized watching that video, one of them was the reason that I was stuck with this passage. I realized that it was because I had read it too narrowly. I had looked at it only through the small lens of my own experience. As a modern American who has been taught to value individualism, I read that and heard Moses addressing me. Lindsay, you choose life so that you may live. But after seeing that video, I had to wonder, what would happen if I tried to hear it closer to the way that an ancient Israelite had heard it? What if I was a member of a group that was more reliant on one another? A group that was woven together by common experiences and their deep need for each other in order to survive. What if I read this with more of a sense of community, of the collective? If we read it that way today, perhaps we hear Moses saying, "Choose life so that you all may live. If you follow the commands of the Lord your God, then you all shall find life and length of days. You will become numerous." After all, the actual commands that Moses is referring to, those given by God in the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, include commands like this: "You shall not profit from another's harm. You shall pay fair wages to workers. You shall not deprive a resident alien or an orphan of justice. When going to war, you shall first offer terms of peace to your enemy before resorting to attacks." Also included is "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." With the communal nature of the law in mind, Moses' words seem to say to me, choose to live in ways that bring life to your community, to your neighbor. Later in our Holy Scripture, Micah says it as, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. And after him, Jesus says, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. And the writer of 1 John says, love one another, for no one can love God but hate their brother or sister. Moses' words in Deuteronomy chapter 30 point to a truth at the very heart of our scripture, that you cannot follow the law of God and not be connected to the welfare of others. Now, perhaps for you, as for me, it's very easy to hear Moses' words and get caught up in a false equation. Me plus following God's rules equals one prosperous life. But what I hear these ancient words saying to us today is that choosing to live by God's way builds life for us all. It is the Lord's way that honors all people, that forgives and reconciles relationships, that engages in the difficult work of peacemaking. And conversely, we understand from our passage today that turning from these ways will lead to our collective demise. One of our modern prophets, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., said it in these now famous words: "We are all tied together in a single garment of destiny, caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. Whatever affects one affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be, and you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the way God's universe is made. This is the way it's structured." Now, I will confess to you that when said in the lofty words of our ancestors of faith, this seems to be a daunting task. And I am left pondering what acts I might perform to affirm the life of another. But let the Israelites' encouragement be my encouragement, and let it be your encouragement today. God says the word is very near to us. It is in our mouths and in our hearts to observe. If we look, we can find it. We can see God's life moving in us and through us as people choose ways that lead to life. In the last 3 months, there have been 10,000 homemade videos of individuals posted on the website itgetsbetter.org. This site is dedicated to encouraging LGBT youth who are the victims of bullying. People post messages to provide hope and to prevent suicide, ending each post with the phrase, "It gets better." The people around us, youth and adults, speak life to others. Also, each year during Lent, people of this church and many others raise money for a project called One Great Hour of Sharing. The money given is used to rebuild houses and cities that are ravaged by natural disaster. It's used to fight human rights violations and to provide clean drinking water, among many other necessary tasks. Freely giving what money they can, the people around us build life for others. And regularly, our sisters and brothers here at Geneva carry clothing donations down to Fort Street Church. Others serve in soup kitchens, and still others travel to do Presbyterian relief work in the Gulf and in Tennessee. Some of our people create sacred art to point others to God, and others spend time visiting with the lonely, and still others listening to the stories of the voiceless. Some march in city streets and Capitol buildings for justice, and others play Candyland and read with children after school. Using what they have, everyday people around us, people among us, share life with others. We know the ways that lead to life. We know the ways to follow God's law, to honor the Lord, to love one another. We know how to do justice and to build peace. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that is doing just that. The life of God is flowing in this world, and it flows out from us each time we choose to act in accordance with God's commands. So let us speak life. Let us build life. Let us share life with our actions today, that we all may live long and claim our stake in the promised kingdom that God is bringing to earth even now. May it be so for me and for you today. Amen. As I close this sermon, I would invite you to take the piece of paper that was at your seat. We have set aside a time to do a little personal reflection. I invite you to use this paper however it will help you, to write down an idea that you have, to answer a question that I have provided. How can life flow in you and from you today, this week, and in this Lenten season? Maybe you have an idea. Maybe you just have a name of someone to share life with. Maybe you have a question of your own. Maybe this paper will remain blank, but I invite you to use this time now to reflect on the life that is flowing around you and in you. When it is time for offering, I would invite you to bring it forward and to lay it in the life that is flowing from our table as a symbol of laying yourself before God in this task. Let us listen now for God speaking not only to us, but speaking within us.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.